Welcome to the Painesville Assembly of God podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending us an email at info@painesvilleag.com. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
In the Assemblies of God in Tanzania and in their church, and let me just give you just a brief picture. In Ohio, the Assemblies of God churches in Ohio represent 0.6% of the population of Ohio. In the nation of Tanzania, which is a lot bigger than Ohio, would accompany multiple states, 6% of that nation is represented by the Tanzania Assemblies of God. So God has done amazing things in that nation and growing the church and his presence there. And so we were invited along with the missionary that was there, Jeff Garrett, who's from the Alabama district. He helped coordinate this trip. And so they invited us to come and to be a part of what was going on there as far as the church in Tanzania. So we had an opportunity to go to their district conferences or their different councils. In other words, they got pastors together and they were coming together to learn and to grow and to worship together, as well as to plan and talk about business. So we've got in May, we have our Ohio District Council coming up. We'll be down in Cincinnati for that. And so that's what this was like. If you have the United States Assemblies of God broken down into different districts, when they get together for their district conferences, we had an opportunity to go and to be a part of that, and also to be the guest speakers and to be able to share. And so we had a long flight. When I left here on the 11th, I went to Cleveland, and my plane was delayed because of fog in New York and all the ice storms and things and rerouting of planes. We didn't even know if we were going to be able to get there. Some of our team had to actually drive to New York, but we made it to New York. And then from JFK, we traveled 12 hours to Doha and then another 6.5 hours to Dar es Salaam. And so you'll see on the next slide, there is a kind of a map of Tanzania and where we are. We flew all the way on the East Indian Ocean. It's tough to see up there, but Dar es Salaam. And when I landed in Dar es Salaam, we were met there by our hosts and Jeff Garrett and we had my team that was made up of four was then going to the Songwe district, and so we had to then board we ended up at the airport, and then we had to board a small bus that took us literally about 5 minutes outside the airport, but to another part of the airport, to a smaller area where we picked up a charter flight. And so then we got on this charter flight and we flew another 2 hours. So after flying nearly 18 hours, 20 hours, we then flew another 2 hours to Mumbai. And so we landed in Mumbai. We were greeted by our hosts, and then we had to drive another 2 hours to Tunduma. So we had all this flying and everything. So I gotta be honest with you, that was a lot of flying. But Tunduma is actually on the border of Zambia. And so we went from Mumbai down to Tunduma, which is on the border of Zambia. And that's where we joined the Songwe district and their district conference and had an opportunity to be with them. The team that I traveled with, you'll see in the next feature, included Pastor David Welly. Many of you know him from Calvary Assembly of God, Willoughby Hills. Pastor Larry Bogenreef, who was on staff here many years ago and is the presbyter of the Northeast area and is at Willow Praise Assembly of God in Willowick. And the gentleman on this far side is Brent Heishman. He's a pastor in Newcomerstown, Ohio, and also a presbyter as well. And the gentleman in the middle, one is not like the other ones. He was our interpreter, and his name is Ezekiel. And Ezekiel did a great job. He was our interpreter, and he had to help interpret for us. And so the church welcomed us with open arms. We met there. We had a wonderful reception, and they took us to the hotel, the Nyati Village Inn, and that was Nyati is the water buffalo, and we saw many of those throughout the nation, the water buffalo, and I had a wonderful pink room, complete with pink mosquito net, and it was a wonderful, a wonderful experience, wonderful hosts. We went to the church the next day, and there we met with the church leadership that was there. Again, there's a picture of some of us with Ezekiel, our translator, going to the church the next day, and it was there at that church that we met with the leadership there. And so you see on this side, in between Brent and Pastor Welly, That is the bishop or the presbyter of the Songwe district, Eliud. And Eliud has a church there that has planted many churches out of his church, as well as the assistant presbyter right there in the middle. His name is Ron, and I'm sorry, I cannot remember the other gentleman in leadership that is standing on the other side. But their leadership welcomed us, and we had the opportunity to be a part of the Antioch Temple Church in Tenduma. And so that's where we spent our time, was in this particular church in Tenduma, the Antioch Temple Church. And the pastor of this church, his name is Pastor Paulo, or Pastor Paul, as he told us to call him. What's remarkable about Pastor Paul is Pastor Paul, this was actually, he actually pastored and planted the first church in Tenduma and in the Songwe region. He was called by God. He was somebody that was living a nominal Christian life, had a Catholic upbringing and background, but yet really wasn't living for the Lord. In fact, had gotten involved in alcohol and gotten involved in other things. And his testimony is that one day he heard a voice. And the voice warned him that he was being called out and that he needed to repent of his ways and he needed to come back to the Lord. And he recognized that it was the voice of God. Initially, he kind of ignored it. And then the voice spoke to him again. And we heard this story over and over again when we asked pastors to talk about their call, that they had heard a voice and they recognized that voice was the voice of God. And they began to do what the voice told them, which led them to a church where they came to know Jesus Christ, where they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then God called them into ministry and God called them to plant this church. And every church that had been planted was either planted out of his church or was planted by a church that he planted, and so across that region. And so we met there for those that district council and Pastor Paul's church there. And so the pastors slowly gathered for this three-day conference, and many of them had to either walk or they had to ride a bus to get there. Some of them had motorcycles. Motorcycles were all over the place. And I've just got to say that there's not many paved roads, so you're driving along a lot of times dirt roads, and it's they drive on the other side of the road than we do here. I don't want to say the wrong side of the road, the other side of the road, but they don't really stay in their lane. And it's kind of everybody for themselves. And so, you know, you're blowing your horn, and if you get there first, you know, everybody else has to move. So I was like praying for my life, like, Lord, help me. You know, I thought my driving was bad. Oh, Lord, help me. But we had a wonderful, wonderful time. And so as we got there, it was amazing because worship has already started. There was hardly anybody there. The pastors were still coming. It actually took them a couple days to come. Worship was already starting. The church was really open air. The doors were open and they'd have the windows open. And really the worship would begin to fill the streets. And I think I've got a little bit of a video here of some of the worship. Yeah. See, that's what we need. Come on, Pastor Carey. We need a group right down here. Man, that was good stuff right there. I tell you, we had church. We had church, man. They loved to worship, and I love that the worship filled the streets. I love that, you know, we have here, we don't have too many windows and things like that, but I mean, they were wide open, a lot of it temperature-wise and those kind of things. By the way, we were suffering for Jesus in 80 to 85 degree temperatures, just suffering for the Lord there in the middle of February. I'm so sorry. Man, it was just great open air and the worship, and the pastors began to gather, and they speak Swahili. That's the national language. Now they have tribal languages, but a couple of years ago, the president of the nation, a democratic government, the president declared that everybody needed to speak Swahili. And believe it or not, the people began to do that. And that's really helped the economy of that nation and helped that nation come together. So the primary language was Swahili. And of course, I don't speak Swahili. And I was kind of hoping that my heavenly prayer language in the Lord was Swahili, but it wasn't. You know, you just never know sometimes, you know. But so we needed an interpreter. And so I got the opportunity to preach four times. I got the opportunity to preach four messages over 3 days. And I got to be honest with you, the first time that I started preaching with an interpreter was kind of clunky. You know me, I get going, you know, and so it was kind of like, okay, trying to find the rhythm. How many paragraphs, how many sentences, how many words can I say before I need to pause, and they're going to get it. So the first time was a little bit back and forth, and sometimes, Ezekiel would look at me and he'd go, huh? And I'm thinking, oh boy. Because they're just concepts we have here in the United States. They just don't have Swahili terms for it. And so there are times where, I would say a few things and then he would like go on and on and on. I'm thinking, my goodness, that's a lot of words for the little bit that I just said. I asked him afterwards, I said, are you preaching a different message than I'm preaching? he said, no, I gotta try to explain a little bit. It just doesn't come as easy. It's not word for word translation. Sometimes I gotta help them understand what you're trying to say, so it takes a little longer. So it really, this isn't in my notes, but from a spiritual standpoint, if you've ever been in church where somebody's given a message in tongues and then the interpretation, you're like, boy, one of those is longer than the other. I'm gonna be honest with you. Sometimes it's not word for word, as I found it just in normal translation. So you just gotta understand that the Lord is doing something. And so, it just took a little bit, but I got to be honest. Sometimes, I would say something that I would think would be funny and nobody would laugh. And I'm thinking, okay, that didn't work. And then other times I would say something that I didn't think was funny and they'd laugh. I'm thinking, what are you? You just have to really trust your interpreter is telling you. We ask him, have you ever preached a different message? And he said, yeah, one guy was preaching heresy, so I was preaching something different. I'm thinking, okay, that doesn't give me confidence. I'm hoping you're preaching what I'm preaching. But we got into it. After a little while, we got into it. And actually, the fourth message I got, I woke up the one morning and really felt like that God had given me a different message than one I had come prepared with. And so we preached right off my laptop. And the Holy Spirit was just coming down. We would preach and then we would have the opportunity to come and we'd invite people to come down and lay hands on them. And man, we had times of prayer. The altar times were so good. Just some pictures of praying and those kind of things. Our team just did a wonderful job just praying for people. So a great time of ministry. The other thing they have that's a little bit different, and I kind of like this, and maybe we need to institute it, They have these chai breaks, man. Chai breaks are great, right in the middle, chai tea. And so they have a chai break. So we'd preach a couple messages, then we'd have a chai break, and they always have food with their chai breaks. And so this is chai. The picture before that, they always took notes. They were very hungry. I forgot to mention that, but they always took notes whenever you were preaching, they would take notes. But this is chai break, and it looks like hot milk, and they come in this thing, and I remember when they poured it in the first time, it was like hot milk, and I didn't realize you're supposed to stick a tea bag in it. I didn't realize that's what you were supposed to do. And so I'm thinking, is this safe to like drink? I don't know. Okay. So I'm like drinking it. Then I realize I'm watching other people and they're like putting tea bags in. And actually I figured out it was actually pretty good by the end of it. When you go on a mission trip, one of the things you're always worried about is what are you going to be fed? And so we got to the hotel, that night, it's late at night and we haven't really had anything to eat. And so they have this meal and they feed us and we would go in a side room here and the ladies would feed us. And so you go by and, when you're going on a mission trip, you don't want to offend anybody. You're not sure what you can and can't say no to. And I know some of you, this won't catch you off guard, but for me, it kind of caught me off guard because they put this on my plate. I like fish, I just don't like it looking at me. I just wasn't sure about that. And I know some of you are okay with that, but I'm thinking I don't want to offend. So I figured out how to eat that, and then I figured out that later on when they had that, I could just politely say, no thank you, I don't want that on my plate. But I also had to eat liver. Some of you like liver. That's not something that I ate all kinds of things that I wasn't quite sure. A lot of bananas and a lot of things and a lot of rice and a lot of beans and a lot of curry. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad he helped me through the food. Hallelujah. So, that's just part of it. When you go on a trip, you gotta do that. And so, we had an opportunity then to tour some of the churches. And this was one of the wonderful things that we had to do. Not only did we get to preach and the pastors are having lunch here, but, what we had the opportunity to also go and tour some of the churches. They're very big into church planting and it's different than the way we think about church planting. They got towns that look like this. There's just smattering. I don't like a lot of the rigmarole and city planning and things we have to go. You want to do a little something, you got to go to the township trustees and then you got to go to the BZA and you got to do, how many are just like, oh my goodness, I, I got a new appreciation when I saw just the way things were kind of laid out. I understand a little bit more of why we need those things. Sometimes maybe we go a little overboard, but I understand why we need those things. But they would just have houses, just villages, just all over the place, just dotting the landscape. And so in every one of those villages, they have a desire to be able to plant a church in those villages. And so we had an opportunity to go down the road and to visit some of the churches that had been planted. And so we came to the first church, and this was the building. It wasn't much. In fact, they had been putting it up, and it doesn't have, it's wide open. The doors are wide open. There's not any doors on it. There's not any windows on it. And it was a female pastor, and Bishop Elihu, she was in his church, and she felt the Lord was leading her to church plant. And so she went to her husband and she told her husband, the Lord is laying on my heart a church plant. And he said, oh, okay, go for it. And so then she went to the pastor and told him. And then when the pastor took her serious about church planting, her husband said, no, 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 we're not going to do that. And so they began to pray, and they said, you know, we're going to wait. We're going to see what the Lord's done. And they began to pray. And then the husband said, he came to the pastor. He said, I've been wrong. I've been wrong. My wife is supposed to church plant. And so she went off to church planting school. She's there in the middle of us here on this side. And she went off to the church planting school. They spend about 4 months in a church planting school, and they have about 13 different Bible classes that they take during that time. And then they go back, and within the first year, they are to go to a particular village and community, and she went door to door, and she began to knock on doors, and she began to tell people about Jesus. And God began to see people get saved, and they began to come together. And in order to build the church that we saw there, literally from the dirt around the church, they built a kiln, and they began to make the bricks. And here you go, ladies. It was the women's ministries that came alongside and helped build the building, helped make the bricks. The women's ministry building the bricks. And so they began to put the bricks together, and God began to work in this church. Very humble lady. You can see they don't have pews, they have benches, and they oftentimes have plastic chairs. And the children's ministry was actually bigger than the actual attendance that was there. From here, we went on to another church plant, a little bit more developed. Worship was going on. They were having a service that was going on. And you could see, again, the benches. And this is just an example of the church. This pastor talked about the fact that he wanted us to pray for him because they were running out of space. The church was growing, and they were kind of landlocked, and he didn't know what to do. And so we began to pray for him and his church. And then we went to Bishop Elihu's church after this, and his church is a little more developed. Again, he'd been there a while. He's planted many churches out of it. And his church was actually three or four floors, and we had the opportunity to talk and share with his church as well. And you can see it's just absolutely a beautiful church. But what I wanted to highlight is that although this is a building that is a lot different than the two church plants that we were at, this church had been around for a while. This church has a vision for planting churches. That is their heart. That is their goal. They're not worried about losing people. They're not worried about breaking up the band. They're not worried about what's going to go on. When somebody feels called to plant a church, they get behind it and they send people out. And every time they send people out, God continues to save more people and bring more people in. The more they give out, the more God brings in. The more resources they give out, the more resources God brings in. It's absolutely amazing the heart that they have in terms of really reaching the Great Commission for Jesus Christ. The Great Commission of reaching their community and reaching their villages and not hanging on, but letting go. And they have a secondary, or they have a primary school. Their goal is to have a secondary school as well. And God continues to provide all the resources that they need. And so we had a chance to get our picture all together. The two church planters came out of this church with the bishop there, and we had an opportunity to get a picture there as well. It's absolutely amazing. So we continue to minister in the Songway Pastors Conference. I had an opportunity to preach the final service. As I said, God put a message about the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We gave the altar call, and literally the altar was just filled. You can see they had to move chairs out of the way, and the altar was just filled. We went around and prayed for people, and people were filled with the Holy Spirit. It was just amazing what God was doing in that church. And then following this, the women's ministries gave us these wonderful gifts here. And so they measured, believe it or not, they measured us and made these shirts within 2 days for us. And a little short in the arms, but it's a nice shirt. I'm very pleased and with that. And so they really, the women's ministry really came alongside and wanted to really honor us and give us a gift. And then following that, they began to pray for us, and they prayed for America. They prayed for Ohio. They prayed for the Assemblies of God. They prayed for the churches in Ohio, and they began to lay hands on us and they began to pray. And I'll tell you what, we had a powerful, powerful time of prayer. These people can pray. They can pray. And you just really felt the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, and it was amazing. From here, the first week, that was our first week of ministry, and then we began to transition to the second phase of our time. So we had the opportunity to be on the ground, to minister, to meet with the pastors right on the ground, to talk with them, to see the work of the Lord and what had been done on the ground. And then we had a chance to go back, and so we all flew from different places to the Ngorongoro region of Tanzania, and there we met with the national leadership of Tanzania, Dr. Barnabas Tokumbali and his wife Glad Mary and his assistant Dr. Kameme poured into us as leaders and poured in. And let me just say this, mark on your calendar Sunday, May 6th. Sunday, May 6th, mark on your calendar, Dr. Barnabas Tokumbali, the superintendent of the Tanzania Assembly of God, as well as the African Assemblies of God, all the African districts or African nations of Assemblies of God, their pastors, he leads that. He's going to be with us in our service. He's going to be preaching in our service May 6th. So he's going to be here in Ohio and sharing in our service. And you're not going to want to miss that. A wonderful time. And so they began to pour into us together with Mike Messner from Assemblies of God in Springfield, Missouri, and Stratop, and Superintendent John Wooten. And we began to dialogue. We began to pray. We began to ask God to give us vision. We heard the vision for Tanzania. We heard the work that God was doing, the reports. We heard about how they came to the vision that God had given them. And then we began to dialogue about what God could do in Ohio. What could happen if the churches all across Ohio, if Assemblies of God churches in Ohio got behind a vision, if we got behind a vision to reach this state, what could happen? And so we began to pray together, and we began to strategize together, and we began to hear from the Lord. And we really had 4 days of intense, literally 12 plus hour days. We were meeting together. We were praying together. We were strategizing together. We were learning together. We were being poured in together. And really a time of development. And so we had a very, very powerful time of prayer, and just a few pictures of a powerful time of prayer. And then at the end of it, we were given a gift. And so I was given a couple of gifts here and some powerful things. I was given, this is the new gavel for our annual business meeting. And I'm just kidding. Don't get out of line. Church discipline. No, I'm just kidding. This is called a rungu. This is a rungu, and it's used as a symbol of authority as well as to crush the head of the enemy. To crush the head of the enemy. Amen. Yeah, you already know where this is going. Pastor Barnabas, when he had given us these gifts, he said this over us. He said, Christ has given you the power and authority through his Holy Spirit to crush the powers of darkness in Ohio and beyond. As in heaven, so in Ohio. Amen. And we were given a shuka, and different tribes have different colors, but Maasai shuka is used for resting and also used for dreaming dreams. Pastor Barnabas prayed over us when he handed us these gifts. He said, may you have rest and peace in Christ as you dream Christ's dream for Ohio and beyond, being filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Powerful. Just a powerful time. A powerful time of God working. We also got tea and coffee from Tanzania to be able to bring home, and that was an opportunity just to remember that they were going to be cheering us on as well. And our trip concluded after all that work and ministry and all of that. We actually got a chance to have some downtime together, and we got a chance to go on a safari. That was a lot of fun. So we boarded these wonderful trucks. I mean, it was, it was awesome. It was awesome. I had to pinch myself. It was awesome. And we went to the Ngorongoro Conservation in the Serengeti and had a chance to see some awesome animals. I think the next picture shows a couple of things. There we are on our trucks. I'm actually on that truck. Giraffes, you know, we have deer that run across the street. We actually had to stop because we had a giraffe run across the street in front of us. You know, kind of a thing. And then we were coming down into the Ngorongoro crater, you know, this dirt road, and all of a sudden our driver stops, and that bad boy came right out in front of the road in front of us. He came right down in front of our truck, and our driver said, "Please close your windows. We don't know how friendly he is. He may want to get up and greet all of us on the side of the truck." And so we shut our windows, but we had the tops lifted up, and we were able to get a picture. And you can't see it from here, but some of the other pictures on the side of his mouth, there is some blood. On his paws, there was some blood. One of two things, either he just came from a satisfying meal, or he came from a fight. We're not quite sure what it was, but he just really had disregard for us. He really was, he was very much confident that he was in control and didn't care that we were there snapping all the pictures that we wanted to share. It was phenomenal, but to see that. There's the water buffalo and ostrich that we got to see, and we got to see some other animals as well, the wildebeest. And I've got to say, I used to sing, some of you were around a long time ago, and I said at Christmas time that one of my favorite Christmas carols was, "I want a hippopotamus for Christmas." Okay, we went to the hippopotamus pond, and it smelled terrible, and they are disgusting, and I don't want a hippopotamus for Christmas anymore. They're awful. They are the most rancid creatures. They are terrible. It's gross. It's gross. Couple of other pictures. It's amazing because these little Maasai boys, and you'd see them all over, not just the Maasai, but I don't think we give our kids enough responsibility, parents. All right, can I get a big amen? These kids, yeah, see some of you, these kids were out there. They were actually shepherding goats and sheep and cattle. I mean, they're just out there. I mean, it gave me a new appreciation when I read about David, the shepherd boy. I know I didn't go to Israel, and some of you really want me to experience that. I'm sure that's absolutely amazing. But this gave me a picture of shepherd boys just out with their sheep. And along with their sheep, they were out, and there were just zebras, like right in amongst everything. It was just amazing. Zebras were just everywhere. And then we caught this bad boy. He actually crossed the road in front of us as well, this elephant. Absolutely amazing. And so we got a chance to see some amazing animals and things like that. I don't know if we're at the next slide yet. And I want to share a story with this that just going to lead into just a few bullet points that I want to make before we transition to communion this morning. And I really want to bring a word this morning as well. And I know I'm running out of time because I had way too much. But I got a chance to sit, this was lunch during our time. You'd think, you know, here we are, we're in the safari. We're dialoguing still about what we've seen, but we're seeing these amazing things. And it's amazing what God puts together. So we had a chance to go to the different districts. We had a chance to preach. We had a chance then to come back and to hear the strategy and what God was doing in the Tanzania Assemblies of God. But we're sitting at lunch. We're out in the middle of the Ngorongoro Serengeti. We stop at this place, and they have this place there for, again, tourists and those kind of things to be able to stop for lunch. And so we stop there for lunch, and I'm sitting with Dr. Barnabas and at his table, and all of a sudden a waiter, a server comes over, and I hear him talking in Swahili, and I don't understand a word, but I hear him say TAG, TAG, Tanzania Assembly of God. We heard TAG a lot, TAG. Here what we find is that our server was a member of a TAG church, and he had saw a picture somewhere of Dr. Barnabas, and so he went over to tell him that he was a part of TAG, the Tanzania Assemblies of God, and there were several servers and waiters there as well. And he was so excited that he had come, and he couldn't believe that he was there as well, and all that the Tanzania Assemblies of God had done, and was sharing his testimony. And then he asked if we would pray for the restaurant and pray for their staff. And so before we left, we gathered everybody together, all their staff. So they have all these people they're serving, but their entire staff came out, and we had the opportunity to be able to pray with them and to be able to pray a blessing over each of them, and to be able to share and open up a doorway for ministry. And just absolutely powerful time. Let me just share a few observations with you, and then we're gonna head to communion. Just some things that God put on my heart with a church in Tanzania. Again, an opportunity back in 2009 is when God gave their newly elected superintendent, Barnabas Tokumbali, a burden for the Church of Tanzania. He had been elected to be the general superintendent, and he said, "I've been elected for such a time as this." And he looked back at the history, and he looked back at what where the church had come from. And after 70 years of missionaries coming and the church in Tanzania really taking off, what he found is that after 7 years, the church had only grown to 500,000 adult and children and 2,800 pastors and churches. And it had been at that size for some time. And he said, "Lord, why are we stagnant? Why aren't we growing? Why aren't we reaching our nation? What do you want to do?" And so he and his leadership team began to go to prayer, and they felt like God put a vision in their hearts. And so they got together and they created a strategic plan around a rallying cry, Tanzania for Jesus. And literally, you go to their churches and their pastors will stand up and they will say, 10 years of harvest. And everybody will say, Tanzania for Jesus. And then they'll say, Tanzania for Jesus. And everybody will stand and say, 10 years of harvest. And it became a rallying cry to unite the church together, the church across Tanzania, to reach Tanzania for Jesus. And so in 2009, they launched a 10-year strategic plan that included a goal to grow from 2,800 present churches to 10,000 churches in 10 years. They set a goal to grow from 500,000 members to 2 million members. And they believed that the raising up of leaders and planting churches was going to be a key to reaching the lost and reaching those who were in those villages all across Tanzania. It was an audacious goal, and they recognized they couldn't do it on their own, but they needed the power of the Holy Spirit. And so they set a goal. They wanted 90% of those who were members of their churches to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And to reach these goals, they recognized they needed 6 strategic areas: revival, renewal, and revitalization. So they set a plan to fast and pray and study to see Tanzania reach for Jesus. Of the 49 million people living in Tanzania, 35% are Muslim, 35% are nominal Christian, 20% are animist. And so they began to pray. In fact, to those countries south of the equator, Tanzania has more Muslims than any other nation south of the equator. More Muslims living. CNN reported that 92% of Tanzanians are involved in some form of witchcraft. And what I personally witnessed was, as they prayed and as they sought the Lord, God began to break strongholds. Prayer had a major role in the church in Tanzania accomplishing its goal. It all begins with prayer, doesn't it? It begins with prayer. It begins with a hunger of God's people. They set out to plant 10,000 new churches amidst the 40,000 villages. They wanted to raise up 10,000 new pastors. 10,000 new pastors, and so they highly encourage every pastor to raise up and mentor at least one other pastor every 3 years. For church planting, they encourage every church to plant at least one church every 3 years. They have some churches that struggle to plant one church every 3 years, and they have other churches that are planting as many as 30 churches each year. Amazing. They wanted to grow from 2 million adult members and to grow to 2 million adult members and 4 million children. And this is where it really gets down to the grassroots level. It really gets down to the people, because they challenge their people. They challenge their people in their churches that they need to be a part of discipling one new person to Jesus Christ every year. Every person discipling one person every year to Jesus Christ. That doesn't sound like a huge thing, does it? But I think it would mean that we would have to really take a look at ourselves and our priorities. And what does it take to fulfill the Great Commission? And whose part is that? Community development is a huge part of what they do. It's one of the poorest countries in the world, and so oftentimes they want to go in and not just bring the light of Jesus, but do some things to help that community grow and develop. They have water wells as an initiative, and water wells oftentimes open up the door to plant a church. So over the past 10 years, more than 400 wells have been drilled throughout Tanzania, especially in central Tanzania, the driest region of the country. And it opens up the door oftentimes for a church to be planted or for the gospel to be shared. Christian education, because so much of Tanzania is uneducated, they want to focus on the children and help the children grow in their education. And then many struggle with alcohol and drug addiction, and so they're planting teen challenge centers all across the nation. Amen? Amen. Yeah. And then they have a goal for mission. So many of the countries that we send missionaries to don't feel necessarily that call to send out missionaries. They look at their resources and they don't have a lot of resources. Well, the Tanzania Assemblies of God set a goal to send out missionaries. They actually had to increase that goal. They had originally set 10, sending out 10 missionaries, and they've had to raise it to 20 missionaries. And at this point, they've got nearly that goal already met. And so what's been happening in the Tanzania Assemblies of God over the last 8 years has been absolutely amazing. It's more than just a goal on paper, but what we found is it's something that every church, every Assemblies of God church in Tanzania has bought into, a vision that not only their pastors have bought into and their leaders have bought into, but it's worked its way down even to the very people who attend those churches have bought in to the vision. It's an amazing unity that they have seen, and it's come through prayer and hearing from the Lord and getting behind the vision that God has. Absolutely amazing. In fact, when we got together at the place that we got together for our leadership time, there was a guy on staff, and so just happenstance, some of our pastors ran into him, and he said, "Oh, I know the Tanzania Assemblies of God. I'm a part of that." And they said, "Well, tell us about it." And he began to recite the strategic plan. He began to recite the vision and the strategic plan of the Tanzania Assemblies of God right down to somebody who's just simply in the church. That's how it's a part of. Friends, I don't know about you, but we've got a world that needs Jesus, don't we? We've got a world that needs Jesus. And I've got to be honest with you. It's going to take more than just me as a pastor. It's going to take more than just pastors. It's going to take the entire body of Christ. Getting a hold of what God wants to do. Getting a hold of the vision. Getting a hold of the Great Commission. Getting a hold of the work that God wants to do. And working together. All of our ministries. All of our ministries working together to accomplish the goal that God has. To accomplish the Great Commission. To seeing Ohio one for Jesus. To seeing Painesville one for Jesus. To seeing our surrounding communities one to Jesus. And I believe there's a world that needs Jesus. There's a world that needs Jesus, but it's going to take us coming together to do that. It's going to take us coming together and seeking the Lord. And I've got a message, but we've got about 5 minutes, and I want to transition to communion. But I've got a message God put on my heart. I want to encourage you, will you come back next week? Because I really believe that God has put some observations that some things that maybe we can begin to apply here in our lives, that we can begin to apply here in our church, what God wants to do in our church. But I just want to center around just one thought. I'm going to ask those preparing for communion, will you just come as I just shared just a little bit here? Will you come and begin to get things prepared and hand those out just for time's sake? And if you'll just hang with me, we're going to go just a few minutes over today just for this time of communion, and I want to get to this. But what I saw in Tanzania was a unity. There was a unity that was there. There was not a competition, but a desire to encourage one another and to spur one another on towards the Great Commission, towards doing what God was calling that nation to do. And that was really to win those that didn't know Jesus Christ, to lead them to a relationship with Jesus Christ, to share the gospel with them, to come alongside so that they would know Jesus. And there was an amazing unity. And what I find as we kind of come to the table of the Lord today is that it's really about unity. It's really about unity. It's really about coming together as believers in Jesus Christ. When Jesus got his disciples together, one of the things that he prayed in John chapter 17 is that they would be one as he and the Father are one. There was a powerful unity, and he knew that there was great things they could accomplish if they would do it together. if they would get behind a rallying vision, if they would get behind a rallying cry, and rather than be in competition with one another, or rather than be critical of one another, if they would come together and recognize that the gospel of Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ did on the cross when he gave his life was more important than anything else, that there would be great things that could be done and accomplished through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so he got them together, and there were some who were asking, can I sit at your right or your left? And Jesus said, I'm going to wash your feet. Let me tell you what servanthood is. I'm going to wash your feet. Those who want to lead need to learn how to serve. And washing their feet, even washing the feet of Judas, Jesus then got them together at the table of, or Jesus got them together at the table of the Lord. And that's when he broke bread. You can go ahead and serve. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, one of the things that he is doing is he's teaching them and correcting abuse with the Lord's Supper. And oftentimes they were coming together, and he says in the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. And to some extent, I believe it. And he said, no doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. So when you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat. For when you were eating, you go ahead and eat private suppers. And so in other words, what was going on is some people were just going ahead. They were eating on their own. They weren't really caring for one another. And I think that it's really got to begin when we begin to care for one another. When we begin to want to serve one another. When we begin to want to honor one another. When we begin to look not only to our own interests, but the interests of one another. And so today, as we come around the table of the Lord and as it's being passed out, I want you to begin to pray and say, God, what's in my heart that is preventing me from coming together, preventing the unity that God wants to bring? What's in my heart that maybe is keeping me from being able to love another brother or sister? What's in my heart where maybe I've got something, some kind of unforgiveness, or I've got some kind of an offense with my brother or sister that's keeping us from really being unified as God desires? Will you allow the Lord to search your heart? Because I believe that God wants us to come together around the table of the Lord today. And as we have been forgiven, to forgive one another. As we've been forgiven, that we would come around the table of the Lord and recognize the unity that God wants to bring to our church. And through that unity, that God wants to bring the gospel to our community. Come on, will you just, as we worship, will you just allow the Lord just to work on your heart and say, God, what areas in my life, what areas in my life are preventing the unity that you want to bring?
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are encouraged and strengthened by God's word. For more information about Painesville Assembly of God, please visit PainesvilleAG.com.